of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached before unto you. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this morning hour of prayer, this morning hour of grace, Father. We wait, Father, with expectant hearts for the good news that thou hast in store for us even this day of grace. O Father, thou knowest the needs of our hearts, the very deepest needs, many of them that we do not even recognize ourselves, many of which we do not acknowledge. But, O Father, we pray that through the power of thy word, those things might come forth, so that we are able to take care of all that lies in our way of leading a happy life in thee and in thy Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, we treasure the promise of Scripture, which tells us that we are hid with Christ in God. O Father, it is a good place to be. And we pray that even today, thy word would strengthen us so that we are able to remain steadfast, faithful, and true to that gift which has been given to us, the promise of eternal life. O Father, we rejoice in the resurrection of thy Son. And O Father, we stand in amazement at that work of love that was accomplished so that today we can be free children in thy kingdom. O Father, we treasure again that gift that Jesus paid so dearly for. And O Father, we pray that we also might be inspired and strengthened by thy word to surrender all that we are, all that we have, to thy use. O Father, we pray that we might be those errand boys and girls, as someone put it long ago, accomplishing that which thou givest to us to do. And, O Father, we know that the most treasured is this, that we would be examples of Christ, examples of his love, and examples, Father, of thy mercy as well. O Father, we pray not only for ourselves, but we pray for our loved ones. We pray for those, Father, who seem to be so far away from that gift, so far away, Father, from thee. We pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit might work in their hearts and in their lives, drawing them to the hearing of thy word. For even as we have heard from the epistle text, it is in that way that we come to know the wonders of salvation and the glories of eternal life, being born again of the incorruptible seed, thy word which endures forever. Father, we pray for those who have asked for our prayers. We pray, Father, for those who are in beds of sickness and of pain, those who mourn. Father, we pray that all might be comforted. Father, we pray on behalf of those who are serving their country even today in many distant parts of this world, some parts are very dangerous, O Father. We pray that thou wouldst be with them, comforting them with the knowledge of thy presence in their lives. And Father, we pray that those who do not know thee through Jesus Christ might come to that living knowledge of truth, so that they might, along with us, be able to say, whether I live or whether I die, I live in Christ. Of course, Father, our prayer is that those young men and women might be preserved from all danger and all harm. And we pray on behalf of their families as well, according to thy will, O Father. We pray for the work of the church during this sin, darkened age, Father. We pray for those who work in this country. We pray for those who are laboring in distant lands. We pray, Father, for thy people, wherever they might be this day, many of them worshiping and believing in very difficult and dangerous situations. Encourage them, Father, with the manifestation of thy presence through thy word and thy spirit. O Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless this congregation, bless its members so that they might continue even to be faithful to that calling that has been given to them, to preach thy word and to uplift thy word in its truth and in its purity. O Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless this service and hear us as we pray that most perfect prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Morning and God's peace. The announcements this morning: our Wednesday evening Bible study will be at 7 o'clock, and we are in the Gospel of Mark. And then next Sunday morning, our adult Sunday school at 9:45, with a morning worship at 10:45. And there is it is Holy Communion next Sunday. I'd like to have a board meeting on Tuesday night with the board members. We'll talk about the time later. There are some things that we need to discuss. And if we could have just a very brief congregational meeting after the service today, I would ask that the congregation would stay just for a minute. It's not going to take long. So that's about it. During the singing of this next song, then your tithes and offerings will be taken. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your grace and your mercy. Father, you have been so good to us, and you are so righteous. Lord, we pray that you would continue to watch over us and keep us in this faith. Father, we pray that as we are about to return unto you of the monetary blessings you've given us, we pray that they would be used to your glory and honor and to the furtherance of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be multiplied among us this morning, hour of grace, and ever henceforth. Amen. For our text this morning, shall we turn to the gospel text for this Sunday in the church year as recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, and beginning with verse 13 and continuing all the way over to verse 35. The words read in the name of our Savior are as follows. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto him, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and our meditation upon that word. Very familiar text. I call it a comfort text, just as we have certain foods that we think of as being comfort foods because they remind us of home and warmth and whatever it might be. And when we are in need or feeling troubled or down, we seek that macaroni and cheese or pot roast or whatever it was in our case that is comfort food. And this is one of those verses in Scripture that is my comfort food because I associate it so closely with Easter Day, as it should be appropriately according to what we read in our text. And when I was growing up, there were always weekend services, or at least on Sunday there were 3 services in some church around. And typically, this text was often spoken in the evening, the journey to Emmaus. And it's an astounding text because it speaks to us of the desire of Jesus Christ to communicate with every single one of us and to bring us back to the Word and to bring us to, as I said in the opening prayer and we mentioned in our Bible study, to the living knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and of that work that he has done for us and so on. There's much in there to amaze us, to cause us to wonder, and to comfort us as individual Christians as we walk upon the way. The story is simple. Here are 2 men who were followers of Jesus. They were there with Jesus. We were not told how often or to what extent, but we know that there were so many who followed him. He had his inner circle of 12, and he had James and John and Peter as another little circle. But he also had many followers who were there with him and who heard his words and who mourned his departure. And we see these two, of all of the number, we see these two that same day, what we call Easter Day or Resurrection Day, they're going back home. 7 miles, it's a long way to walk, 7 miles, but it's doable. I've done it, I'm sure many of you have done it. You know, when I was growing up, we walked. You've heard that before. But we did, and 7 miles, if I want to see my friends, that's how far I walked, one way. They walked away. They walked away. And we think, well, don't they remember what Jesus had said? When he talked about the temple in 3 days? But see, they couldn't put it together. Without the abiding Holy Spirit, we cannot put together the story and the meaning of salvation. We come up with disappointment or some kind of artificial joy that is not given to us by the Heavenly Father. And that's what was happening to these men who are walking back, talking over the events of the day. And we find out in our text what they were talking about. We thought he was the one. We thought he was the one, but he's not. And that's what they tell Jesus. We trusted in him. He died. That's the end of it. And you know, that's the way it is in our lives. If we don't understand salvation, if we don't understand, for example, the miracle of Christ's resurrection, then we are truly lost and truly disappointed. I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul, perhaps for the first time, it's a very early writing, maybe it wasn't distributed as early, but some scholars say this is the first time that anybody really wrote so clearly about resurrection and about what happened. So this, I'm not going to read this entire 15th chapter, but I'm going to read verse 19. Which tells us, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And these two guys were horribly disappointed. They had hope in Christ when he was here. We trusted in him. We thought, in verse 21 of our text, we thought that he was the one which should have redeemed Israel. But it didn't happen. Instead, the rulers took him, delivered him to be condemned to death, and they've crucified him, and he's in a tomb. He's in a tomb. We can learn from this example so many things. You know, and number one among them is not to walk away when we become disappointed because God somehow hasn't met our human expectations. It's amazing sometimes how a Bible study actually refers to some of the things that we preach about. We were in Proverbs this morning, if I can find it. Proverbs 24, verse 14. We only got to 2 verses this morning. Verse 14 tells us this in Proverbs 24. So shall the knowledge of wisdom. It starts out by saying in verse 13, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, your expectation shall be met if you've tasted of that honeycomb. And what is it? We find out what it is in this text. I'm not going to tell you yet if you haven't discovered it. It's coming up. But if we haven't eaten of that honeycomb, we are going to be disappointed. We are going to be disappointed. Every time, because we don't know who God is. We don't really know why Jesus came here, why he suffered, why he died, why he was resurrected, why he has risen into heaven. None of that is there. But the first teaching is this, that we go to Jesus because he comes to us. He is there. They didn't know it. He walked with them. Their eyes were holden. Why are our eyes holden, blinded to the presence of Jesus in our lives? Well, we're so immersed in the sorrow of the moment, the disappointment of the moment. Or we're so immersed in prior teaching, as these people were, They had teaching which they thought was based on Scripture that the Messiah would free them from imperial rule of some kind, that their nation would once again be a strong, bold nation as it had been back in the days of David, that they would be the rulers, and that's where they were stuck. And they could not see beyond that misperception of what God had actually said. We go back today, as Jesus did, starting in Genesis and going through the prophets and the Psalms, and we find so many references to the coming of the Messiah and who he really was going to be and what he really was going to do. But, you know, when we have these preconceptions, we are unable to recognize the truth, whatever they might be. It might be our tradition, our understanding, whatever the dogma that we have about what the Word of God says. And so when we come to that Word, we are taught this. Come with that plea to the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit would open the Word to us so that we are able to see through our ignorance, through our misperceptions. We are able to see the truth of God's Word. Knowing this, that Jesus cares, we read in the epistles, cast your burdens upon him because he cares for you. Let's do it by the grace of God. And I preach to myself as much or more than I preach to you because our human nature is not that way. And I purposely selected the sermon song with that idea in mind of I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. You know, we tell each other, and that's wonderful. You know, we are all listening ears. But after a while, you get tired of listening to somebody's complaints. I mean, let's be frank about it. Same old story. She's always crying about that, or he's always this, or whatever. And we shut our eyes off, ears off. And we may not be so rude as to say, okay, that's enough already, I've heard that. But we turn off. That's human nature. Jesus never does. Jesus never does. Now we pray that we might have patience to listen to each other and be kind to them. But being human, it doesn't happen all the time. But with Jesus, it always does. It always does. And so I must tell Jesus instead of walking away. I must tell Jesus. We hear and read those stories of people who have confronted some tragedy in their lives, a sudden death of somebody very young, for example. And that person says, where was God? Where was God? I can't believe in a God like that. And walk away from him rather than toward him to seek out God, to find the comfort that he has to give to us as he gave to these men who are walking toward Emmaus and as he gives to us every day. So if we're tempted by, rather we are tested by trials, burdens, troubles, tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. All of these things, Christ knows, God knows. But he tells us, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find that comfort that is promised to us and that encouragement that is there. Now, why do we need to ask? Well, we read here in verse 17 where Jesus tells them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? Jesus knows, but he wants us to declare ourselves. We humble ourselves always under the mighty hand of God, declaring our need to him and to each other, but declaring our need to him. And he hears us. Doesn't always respond in the way that we might desire. You know, that's the other hurdle. Why we feel that God does not meet our expectations, because we've decided what should happen. So we pray, deciding how God is going to decide how this should happen. I know you've done it. You have, because we're all alike. I've done it more often than I can count. And I have been very upset with God when my way didn't turn out to be the right way, because I thought now all is undone. All is undone. But in every case that I can think of this morning, where I felt that somebody or somebodies were in desperate situations, including myself, It has turned out okay, but not according to Earl's way. God has better ways that we cannot even begin to envision. It's just remarkable. You know, if it weren't something against privacy, I can't think of the word, breaking privacy laws and so on, we could tell so many stories of those, couldn't we? From ourselves, if it involves other people, or people have, told us privately about what has happened to them. But they're there, and they're in your life as well. We don't always recognize that. We remain upset because I didn't get my way like spoiled little children. But just as mother and father's way is generally the right way, God's way is always the right way, and there is no doubt about it. And he promises to lead us upon the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. And he'll lead us back to that all the time. And so these men tell what has happened. I've gone through that portion already. What are those things? This is what's happened. This is what has gone on. And we trusted him. We trusted. And we're speaking of disappointments. There are those who are told that if you believe strongly enough, what you want will happen. Well, you've read in the papers or heard on the TV news about this little girl, I believe it was, in some distant state who died of treatable diabetes because her parents would not call medical people to assist. They believed that their prayer was going to do it. Didn't work. Well, see, reliance upon my prayer is useless. I don't even know how to pray most of the time. I pray wrongly. But we bring those to God and pray according to his will. As we've discovered, loved ones pass away, sometimes way too young. Lost Howard. And that would not have been according to any of our will. But it was God's. We don't know why that's so, but we know this, that it's good. As hard as that is to believe, even at this moment, I know that having faced situations in my own family of loved ones passing away, my brother, for example, at way too young age, my parents who were in their elder years, but no matter how old they are, they're still mom and dad, and we miss them terribly. And it seems, to begin with, unbearable. How could this be? But God's promises are there if we continue to seek after them and to look up to him and to know that we trust in him that way rather than trusting in ourselves. This does not mean that we don't pray. It is not incorrect to pray. Don't misunderstand. But we pray with that understanding that God's will be done, even as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he faced that fearsome crucifixion, bearing not only the physical anguish, but the spiritual anguish of the sins of the entire world upon his shoulders. Father, deliver me from this cup. But thy will be done. And he was strengthened by angels. And so we also can be strengthened by angels to bear those burdens, as difficult as they might be. Now you see, we talk about, we heard last Sunday, and we ourselves have talked about during the week, I'm sure, I know my wife and I did, about Thomas, whom we so often call doubting Thomas in a disparaging kind of way. Listen, folks, Thomas was no different than you are or than I am. Notice these men who were there. The women went, they saw, they came back, they told, and they, as we read in the gospel, thought it was idle tales. That's women's talk. They didn't see Jesus. How could they? He died. And they paid no attention to it at all. None at all. And these men didn't either. They turned around and went home. They were going home. And a certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And just prior to this, for example, we see here Peter in verse 12, who ran to the sepulchre with another disciple, looked in, but could not believe it until Jesus, as in this case, revealed himself to them. That's the way it is. He does not come by observation. He doesn't come in a physical way. And that's why people at the end and throughout the ages have been saying, Jesus is there, he's there, he's there, he's there, because they're looking in a natural way for that Jesus at an outward church, rather than to that church that Christ has established right here in the Gospels, of those who are his children, the living body of Jesus Christ, Christendom, as we often call it. Those who are by faith are living in and with Christ Jesus, hid in God. And Jesus tells them point blank, that Jesus of ours can be very direct. O fools, he says, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The word has been with you. Now, they didn't have the abiding Holy Spirit. We as God's children do. And so it is truly sad and depressing when we cannot understand the word through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we insist upon bringing our own reasoning to it, for example. And he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? As I said before, a second teaching here is, the first one is, I must tell Jesus. The second right here is, I must go to his word. I must not neglect his word. And I must go to it with that prayer that he would reveal it to me, so that that word could reveal to me who God is, reveal his intent, reveal to me, most importantly, the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as our individual personal Savior, not just somebody, a prophet, but the very Son of God. And he began at Moses and all the prophets and went through those scriptures and explained to them the things concerning himself. Now Jesus was going to leave them. You know, first they didn't recognize who he was. They still didn't. But as we find out later, there was something about this stranger in their midst that was very compelling. And he made as though it were to go. And they said, no, don't go. It's getting late in the day. Stay with us. Have supper. And they wanted to talk some more with him. You know, that's the power of God's word. As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. That message isn't dependent upon Earl Carroll's carnal tongue. It's dependent upon the revelation of the Holy Spirit into your hearts. And it's a compelling word that draws us so that we want to know more about it. We want to know more about that Jesus. We want to hear more. Their hearts, as we read here, were burning within them. You know, we do need to go back to Scripture. There are those who don't believe that we need to read Scripture in certain churches and not confined to one particular denomination or another. There's more than one who don't believe that the people need to read the Bible. The preacher will do it. Well, that's not what the Word of God tells us. There are those who just are not interested, of course, but I think that as God's children, we should be. There are others who have abandoned the reading of God's Word because they say, I have a higher revelation. As I probably and undoubtedly told you before, this lady told me that one reason why she left her church where her parents had attended and she had attended, because one day the preacher came in and took the Bible and said, I don't need that today. Well, if we're not preaching from the Word of God, what are we preaching from? And you can answer that question as well as I can. It must be from the Word of God. There are so many ways of abandoning the Word of God, or of trying to make the Word of God fit our own notions of what God wants and who God is, or to fit our pet doctrines, dare I say. We read incorrectly when we do that. We need to read praying that the Holy Spirit would open our minds to see that word over again and be refreshed by that word, just as that comfort food that I started out with. We go back to whatever it is, even if it's a bowl of cereal, but that's what we ate when we were young and that's what made us feel good. We feel good Because it's fulfilling. And that's what God's word is. It's fulfilling to us emotionally, nutritionally, whatever. And so God's word is when it is sown into our heart in its truth and purity and in its fullness. It is something that causes our hearts to burn and our spiritual bellies feel content. We're happy and we long for more, for the next time to come. And that time is with us always when we are near God's word. He explains that to them. And they ask him to stay. And notice what happens. Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. Verse 29. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Now notice what happened. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. What happened there? What happened there? Well, obviously, Jesus was revealing himself to them in a way that they would understand who he is. He had done this before. Not the Last Supper. I don't know who all was there, if it was just limited to the 12, which is the way it sounds in Scripture. But certainly it had happened before, where the bread was broken and blessed, as well as the cup, even in natural kinds of meals. But they also, you know, as we read in Scripture, how God gave his disciples understanding through the Holy Spirit. They received an understanding, perhaps, and I just surmise, but received an understanding of Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the bread of life," and who told them in that remarkable passage in John, that you must eat and drink of my body. And remember, there were so many who left him in droves who can listen to this. This man is not all right up here. He's talking about things that are disgusting. Eat and drink of my body. But see, they did not understand what he meant by the bread of life. And our epistle text so admirably tells us what he meant, along with other portions of Scripture, I'm sure, but this is the epistle reading for the day, which tells us in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verses 23 through 25, of how we are born again, of that incorruptible seed by the word of God, not by man's word, not by man's opinion, not by man's thinking of how it happens, but it's the word of God which lives and abides forever. 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That word must be broken into our hearts, given to us by none other than the power of the Holy Spirit. As we know from Scripture, Ephesians, that the word and the Spirit work together. The word is the sword of the Spirit. And that reveals to us, as we read in Hebrews, reveals to us the needs of our hearts, reveals to us the grace of God, of Jesus Christ, who in John is called grace and truth, came by Jesus Christ. And so it does. The truth of ourselves, the truth of what God's word is all about, and that marvelous, wonderful grace that's there that causes our hearts to burn even today, as God's word is broken into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we remember how his very body was broken for us, even as had been promised in the Old Testament scriptures upon that cross of Calvary. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, for example, as you will next Sunday, to communion, you hear, "This is my body given for you," or "This is my body broken for you." And we believe that it truly is, as by faith we receive it. Not that that bread itself turns somehow into the body of Christ, but it's a spiritual eating and drinking that is very real and very true as we partake of those elements that have been prescribed in Scripture, of the wine and the bread. And so they recognize Jesus Christ and his God. Now think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. This is Resurrection Day. There's a lot of stuff that happened on Resurrection Day when you read scriptures. He was in several places. Met with Peter, even, Paul tells us. And yet he had time for Cleopas and his partner, his friend, as they walked along the way. He has time for you. He has time for me. He'd come from the tomb. And here's the concern. And just walks with them upon that road until they understand. And he's willing to do that for us as well, as we truly search for the truth in Scripture and in our lives. These men, even though they might be called a doubting individuals, as certainly they were, disappointed, but yet they talked about it. They hadn't totally given up, have they? Because they're discussing it along the way. And that's the way it needs to be. We must persevere, knowing that Jesus is there and is going to be there with us, and our hearts also will burn. And what happens now? It's nighttime, but is it too dark and too late to get back that 7 miles to where the disciples are? No way. They have good news. They have seen the risen Savior. They've tasted of the resurrection. They can't keep it to themselves. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Go forth and give the good news. He is risen for you, so that you can lead a risen life, a resurrected life. So they go back, all excited, and they get there in verses 34 and 35 and 34 and 35. They rose up, they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. There were many people there, and saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And that is what they were. As they dashed in, the people tell them, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Peter has seen them. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And we can imagine that there was great joy there. But wait for the rest of the story. We're not going to end without going on a little bit further. Because, and as they thus spoke, what happened? Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith, peace be unto you. And what happened? But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Isn't that something? Oh, what Paul says in his epistles. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body? And the answer, of course, is in the next verse, Christ. It is Jesus Christ, who, as we read in the Gospel of John, and we heard recently of how Jesus revealed himself. See, here's the wounds. He does that to us today, to the seeking, sorrowing one, burdened by sin, doubts perhaps and fears. Jesus has revealed his wounds to us in his word, a broken body, but a risen Christ, in wholeness. And so we also can be broken in many ways, but restored to that joy, that confidence that must be a part of our Christian lives. We don't walk with our nose making furrows into the dust of this world, with our head down, but we walk with our heads up, looking up into the face of Jesus. There's nowhere else to look, nowhere else to turn. And also walking together in that great company that is with us on that journey toward the heavenly homeland. To that end, may each of us be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for the blessing of thy word. Oh, Father, we pray that we might be encouraged, even as these men were, who were walking to Emmaus in such distress and sorrow, Father. Lift up our hearts, Father. Lift up our hearts even today to that joy that thou hast for us. Give us, Father, faith and confidence to continue walking, no matter what the trials and tribulations, the burdens might be. Our desire, Father, is that one day we might be found together, gathered around that great white throne, singing celestial hallelujahs throughout eternity. And now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh,